This is year two of the next big change in technology. Countries that were able to get the latest technology into the country with the least amount of barriers and did not reinvent the wheel, so to speak, brought the best technology and then used it intensely to create more technology got ahead during the Industrial Revolution in Europe. The compute utility, the AI utility, apply it broadly in healthcare, in education, in tourism, in energy, in retail, in every sector of the economy. And I think there's a great potential right here in Thailand to be able to seize the moment.
That a full Azure region is going to come to Thailand with TAZ.
Talking about education, how should we teach our children in the age of AI?
I think the thing that we should approach education going forward is fearlessness.
You once said empathy is not a soft skill, but the hardest skill we should learn. Why do you think like that?
So to me, really, empathy is the skill behind innovation. And that's why I don't think of it as a soft skill, it's the hardest skill.
You transformed the company from a $300 billion enterprise to $3 trillion giant. What is the secret sauce behind this remarkable achievement?
This is the Standard Podcast, eye-opening for your ears.
The Secret Sauce.
สวัสดีครับผมเคนนครินทร์และนี่คือ The Secret Sauce Podcast.
What's your secret?
วันนี้มางาน Microsoft Build AI Day นะครับในการมาเยือนของคุณสัทเธียนาเดล่านะครับซึ่งจริงๆก็เป็นงานที่เขามาพูดถึงความร่วมมือระหว่าง Microsoft กับประเทศไทยนะครับซึ่งก็มีการประกาศว่าจะมีการลงทุนสร้าง Data Center แล้วก็ AI Infrastructure รวมทั้งมีการทำเรื่องของ AI Skilling นะครับหรือว่าการฝึกให้คนไทยนั้นพร้อมกับเรื่องของ Skill AI ต่าง
ๆ Then I'm really excited today to announce that a full Azure region is going to come to Thailand with TAZ.
เขาพูดถึงสิ่งที่เขากำลังจะทำมากขึ้นนะครับหลักๆในมี3ประเด็นอันแรกก็คือ unlock productivity นะครับอันที่2ก็คือพูดถึงการที่เขาจะใช้ AI solution transform องค์กรทั้งหมดหรือแม้กระทั่ง government เองก็ตามทีนะครับแล้วก็อันที่3เขาพูดเรื่อง trust พูดเรื่องของการ safeguard การป้องกันภัยคุกคามจาก AI 3มุมเนี้ยผมคิดว่าใช้ได้ทุกระดับนะครับมุมแรกก็คือ unlockproductivity ในทุกองค์กรสามารถเอาไปใช้ซึ่งในมุมเขาก็ต้องยอมรับว่าเขาก็มาพูดถึง product เขาด้วยนะฮะก็พูดถึง co-pilot นะครับอันที่2คือพูดในนามภาพใหญ่ขึ้นองค์กรคือเอา data มาใช้เอาพวก AI fabric ต่างๆมาใช้เนี่ยสามารถที่จะทำให้เราปลดล็อกอะไรได้อีกหลายอย่างตอนนี้เขาพูดถึง cloud ของเขาก็คือ Microsoft Azure ซึ่งก็มีการที่จะ plug in ตัว AI เข้าไปอันที่3ก็พูดถึงความปลอดภัยนะครับอันนี้เป็น3อย่างเป็น framework หลักๆแต่จริงเขาก็พูดหลายเรื่องนะครับโดยเฉพาะเขาพูดเรื่องของการที่เราอยู่ในจุดหัวเรือหัวต่อทางประวัติศาสตร์จริงๆแล้วเขาเชื่อว่าเขาใช้คำว่า get ahead คือประเทศไหนองค์กรไหนที่ปรับตัวได้กับ AI approach AI ได้ดีก็จะสามารถ get ahead หรือว่านำหน้าคนอื่นได้ในงานเขาก็ยังพูดเรื่องของ GitHub ด้วยนะครับ GitHub เนี่ยถ้าเปรียบเทียบก็เหมือนเป็นแพลตฟอร์มสำหรับ developer ซึ่งผมก็เพิ่งเห็นตัวเลขว่ามีคนไทยอยู่บน GitHub เนี่ยกว่า 900,000 คนนะครับเขาก็พยายามจะชี้ให้เห็นว่าตอนนี้ GitHub มีตัวฟีเจอร์ใหม่นะครับซึ่งผมว่าดูแล้วตื่นตาตื่นใจนะครับในแง่คนที่ไม่ได้เขียนโค้ดเป็นคือมันไปอีกเลเวลนึงแล้วจริงๆคุณไม่ต้องเขียนโค้ดเป็นแต่คุณก็เข้าใจมันได้ที่สำคัญเขาทดลองเป็นภาษาไทยผมว่ามันเป็นเวกอัพคอลเหมือนกันว่าหลังจากนี้โลกคงจะมีความเปลี่ยนแปลงเกิดขึ้นอีกหลายอย่างนะครับก็อันนี้เป็นสิ่งที่เขาพูดแล้วก็พูดถึงความร่วมมือของ Microsoft กับประเทศไทยจริงๆถ้าเกิดให้แบ็คกราวด์นิดนึงก็ผมก็ไปดูเขามาก่อนเนาะจริงๆในทริปนี้เขามา3ประเทศก็คือมาอินโดนีเซียแล้วเดี๋ยวไปมาเลเซียต่อไทยเนี่ยอยู่ตรงกลางว่ากันตามตรงเนี่ยในฐานะสื่อมวลชนอินโดนีเซียมีข่าวที่ค่อนข้างใหญ่นะครับมีการลงทุนโครงสร้างขนาดใหญ่แล้วก็เป็นเม็ดเงินหลักหมื่นหลักพันล้านนะครับแต่เมืองไทยเนี่ยไม่ได้มีตัวเลขบอกตามนั้นแต่อย่างน้อยก็มี data center นะครับแล้วก็มี commitment เรื่องของการสร้าง AI infrastructure ก็ต้องติดตามกันต่อว่าประเทศไทยจะ catch up เรื่องนี้ยังไงนะครับทีนี้ก็เป็นโอกาสอันดีนะครับที่จริงๆทาง Microsoft โดยเฉพาะขออนุญาตเอ่ยชื่อก็คือพี่เต้ยธนวัฒน์นะครับ MD ของ Microsoft เนี่ยได้เกริ่นกับผมก่อนหน้านี้แล้วว่าสนใจจะสัมภาษณ์คุณซาเทียนาเดล่ามั้ยซึ่งก็ต้องบอกว่ายิ่งกว่าสนใจอีกผมเพอร์ซันนอลเลยนะครับส่วนตัวแล้วเนี่ยเขาเป็นหนึ่งในไอดอลผมก็ว่าได้ในแง่ของการเป็น empathetic leadership เพราะว่าเขาเป็นผู้นำที่ใช้ empathy มากกว่า authority แล้วก็เป็นผู้นำที่มาจากศูนย์จริงๆก็คือมาจากอินเดียนะครับแล้วก็มาที่ Microsoft เป็นลูกม่อ Microsoft สุดท้ายเนี่ยก็สร้างตัวตนตัวเองขึ้นมาจนกลายเป็นแชร์แมนแล้วก็ CEO ของ Microsoftซึ่งปีนี้ครบรอบ10ปีที่เขาเป็น CEO ด้วยนะฮะก็ตอนที่เจอกันก็ผมก็พูดไปตรงๆเลยบอกว่าคุณเป็นโรลโมเดลของผมคุณเป็นต้นแบบในแง่ของ empathetic leadership นะครับเพราะว่าเคยอ่านหนังสือ Hit Refresh ของคุณซาเทียนาเดล่าคือต้องยอมรับว่าคุณซาเทียเป็นบุคคลที่ฮอตที่สุดคนหนึ่งของโลกคือเป็น Man of the Moment ของโลกในหลายแง่มุมแรกก็คือเขารันองค์กรที่ระดับทริลเลียนนะครับแล้วก็อยู่ในระดับที่มีผลต่อโลกมากๆมีอิทธิพลต่อโลกโอเปเรตในโอ้โหเกือบ200ประเทศเลยด้วยซ้ำทั่วโลกเนี่ยนั้นเขาเป็นคนที่มีอิทธิพลต่อโลกสูงมากนะครับอันที่สองก็คือสิ่งที่เขาทำเนี่ยเกี่ยวข้องกับอนาคตมวลมนุษยชาติมากๆก็คือ AI ตั้งแต่การลงทุนใน Open AIแล้วก็ตั้งแต่ตัวบริษัทเขาเองก็ทำ AI มานานเพราะฉะนั้นเนี่ยสองมุมนี้มันทำให้เขาเป็นบุคคลที่ผมว่าท็อป3และในปัจจุบันถ้าพูดถึงบุคคลที่ทรงอิทธิพลในแง่ของโลกธุรกิจหรือว่าโลกของ CEO นะครับอีกมุมนึงก็คือเขาก็เป็นคนที่โตมาจากประเทศอินเดียนะครับเล่นคริกเก็ตเกือบเป็นนักกีฬาคริกเก็ตแล้วด้วยซ้ำนะฮะแล้วก็มาเติบโตที่สหรัฐอเมริกาเพราะนั้นไม่แปลกที่ผมว่าทุกคนตื่นเต้นแหละทุกคนตื่นเต้นที่จะได้เจอเขา So we will put the microphone on you and you will sit here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just put it right here.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have learned a lot from you.
Yeah,
especially empathetic leadership. Yeah. So you are truly my role model. Thank you so much.You can call me Ken.
Ken.
I am the CEO of the Standard Media as well.
Fantastic.
So that's why I try to learn, you know, your leadership style and everything. And I am your huge fan. You know, I have been watching all videos on YouTube. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. So when did you start your media company?
7 years ago.
Oh.
7 years ago.
That's
yeah.
Wonderful.
And I wrote a book about you as well.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
It's 15 minutes again.
Okay, thank you. So, thank you so much for joining us today. And it's an honor to have you on our show. I would like to start by talking about memories. I heard that you have some good memories of Thailand. During your visit to Thailand today, what challenges or what opportunities do you see for Thailand in utilizing AI?To become, you know, an AI hub or to compete with other countries?
Yeah, first of all, it's such a pleasure to be back here in Thailand and in Bangkok, Ken. And you're right. I mean, I came here. In fact, the first country I went outside of India was Thailand. My father worked here and my parents stayed here for 5 years. And I think I was in seventh grade or eighth grade, I think, when I first came here. And so the late 70s and the early 80s, I used to come here, and it was just wonderful memories of everything Thai about it. In terms of the AI revolution, I think one of the most fascinating things, Ken, and in fact, this morning I had a chance to spend, you know, really looking at the length and breadth of the Thai society, right? Public sector organizations like the Universal Healthcare Organization using AI already to make it possible for anybody even in rural areas here to access health services. Large companies here like the oil company using it to ensure that pipelines are safe. Travel, tourism is big in Thailand, companies using generative AI as a way to make the interface for how people book hotels and travel much more intuitive, right? So already technology is coming, getting diffused at a rate that is fast, intensely being used by developers and companies and public and private sector to change, I think, ultimately, what is the productivity curve, right? Because at the end of the day, any country has to do two things. One is manage the energy transition and drive economic growth. And if that's the formula, then I think information technology or this intelligence and AI technology is going to be key. And I think there's a great potential right here in Thailand to be able to seize the moment. What I think it'll come down to is being able to take this opportunity to broadly upskill the Thai labor force and apply the technology intensely in all the industries across the Thai economy.
Can you paint a picture for us of where it will take humanity? And, you know, what strategies or what policy should middle-income countries like Thailand, medium-sized countries like Thailand, adopt for generative AI?
A study done by a Dartmouth economist by the name of Diego Coleman, who did a longitudinal study of technology diffusion during the Industrial Revolution. And his basic conclusion was countries that were able to get the latest technology into the country with the least amount of barriers and did not reinvent the wheel, so to speak, brought the best technology and then used it intensely to create more technology got ahead during the Industrial Revolution in Europe. So if you apply that to the modern context, that means in Thailand, we want to be able to sort of do the same, which is bring the technology in this case, the compute utility, the AI utility, apply it broadly in healthcare, in education, in tourism, in energy, in retail, in every sector of the economy, and ensure that it is ultimately the human is in the loop, right? That's why I love even the design choice we made with Copilot. The human empowerment is still paramount. Human agency is still paramount. Even with it, essentially what it's doing, it's augmenting the human capability and human judgment. And so to me, if we make the right design choice, have the right access to the technology, and apply it intensely across the sectors, then I think we can see tremendous amount of economic benefit, which is also planet friendly.
You came from India to become the leader of Microsoft, one of the largest organizations in the world. And I understand that this year marks your 10th anniversary as CEO. So you transformed the company from a $300 billion enterprise to $3 trillion giant. What is the secret sauce behind this remarkable achievement?
You know, I think, you know, I've been at Microsoft now for 32 years, and Microsoft has just entered its 50th year. And at least the way I think about it, Ken, is, you know, there is no such thing as franchise value in our industry, right? It's not about what has been achieved in the past. It is about what one does going forward. That's where I think even the cultural motto we have around growth mindset or confronting fixed mindset, going from being know-it-alls to learn-it-alls, is so important. So one of the things that I feel we have to think about is this is year two of the next big change in technology, right? So I started when PC client servers started taking root. I lived through the web and the internet, the mobile cloud, and now it's AI. And so instead of thinking about the previous 50 years or the previous 32 years, you have to have a fresh perspective on what may happen going forward, and we are in the very beginning of it in year two. And so I think that's what's kept us relevant. There's no God-given right to any company to just exist. They only exist if they're doing societally useful things. And so when I think about a multinational company like ours, the only way we have a license to operate in Thailand is to be able to come here, see that this technology is being used by Thai people to really drive outcomes in this country, small businesses becoming more productive, multinationals becoming more competitive, public sector becoming more efficient, health outcomes, education outcomes becoming better, because that's what gives us the license to operate, ultimately. So as long as we do that, we will have a bright future, and we have to really be, you know, always have humility and have that posture of being learn-it-alls.
What skill or mindsets do you think most important for leaders, or especially Thai leaders, in this dynamic landscape?
You know, whenever I think about leadership and the leadership attributes that at least I try to hold as a mirror for myself and then people around me, I think leaders have to bring clarity in situations where there is a lot of ambiguity, right? Leadership is not about confusing things, it's about clarifying things. The second thing is leaders also create energy all around, right? It's not just about their team or their company, it's about broad, multi-constituent energy that drives people and organizations forward. And then lastly, leaders also are not waiting for the perfect weather to perform, right? You always have to be able to solve over-constrained problems, right? To choose how to unconstrain your teams, find a path. And that, I think, are the three attributes of leadership that I think will apply everywhere.
Oh, you once said empathy is not a soft skill, but the hardest skill we should learn. Why do you think like that, and how can we develop our empathy?
You know, to me, if you think about what is in source of innovation, right? Any company that says they want to innovate, that means you have to meet the unmet, unarticulated needs of customers, right? That's the job. And when you think about it, how do you really get in touch with the unmet, unarticulated needs? It's through deep empathy. In fact, another way to talk about it is, design thinking, right? To me, design thinking is that. And so to me, really, empathy is the skill behind innovation. And that's why I don't think of it as a soft skill. It's the hardest skill to one can acquire. And life's experience really teaches you, right? All of us have the ability over the years to develop more empathy for more situations and people and context around us, and as long as we are willing to learn and listen, and then to be able to apply it even at work, being a better leader, better manager, better innovator, I think all comes from having that empathetic sort of outlook, to being able to understand, see the world through other people's eyes, I think is an important skill.
Mm-hmm. Talking about education, how should we teach our children in the age of AI?
You know, it's fascinating. One of the things I think about is, I think the thing that we should approach education going forward is fearlessness.
Fearlessness. What I
mean, yeah, because if you think about it, we all go into school and we sort of say, God, that's hard. Maybe I'm not well suited for it or what have you. Guess what? In a world where there is AI, I think AI will allow you to develop expertise in any area faster, better, by bending the knowledge curve and the learning curve. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I think if anything, we can approach how we educate children in particular by having that sense of curiosity to pick up new skills and not be afraid, right? As an electrical engineer, I always used to say, oh, if only I had learned how to understand Maxwell's equation. In fact, much later in life, I saw a JavaScript rendering, basically a visualization of Maxwell's equation, and I got it instantly. And I was thinking, oh my God, if only I'd sort of studied that when I was doing my undergrad, it would have been so much better. That's the type, you know, we all learn differently. So I feel that I think education is one place where generative AI can probably allow us to be fearless in our quest for knowledge and in our curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Last question, what is the hardest thing about being a CEO?
I first of all think that it's a real privilege to have this opportunity to represent a company like Microsoft, because I think, you know, for all of us who work at Microsoft, I always say it creates a platform for us to be able to come again to a place like Bangkok and to be able to really relate back to the things that I remember coming here as a young kid, seeing the impact our company is having through unbelievable customers, partners here, software developers, entrepreneurs, people in public service, in private sector. I think that's what I think of it. To me, it's not the hardest thing, it's the privilege of my life to be able to have a chance to have this opportunity to represent Microsoft and to work at Microsoft, and most importantly, help realize its mission, one country and one community at a time.
Mm-hmm. How do you use Gen AI in your daily life?
You know, I use it all the time. Everything, like as I said, like, you know, at this point I go to Copilot for any question. My search habit has changed. I use Copilot as a way to keep track of all the meetings that I miss, to recall what I myself have said that I don't recall. So I think it's become essentially a way to change work artifacts and workflow from the mundane to sort of the most critical. And I think that it removes drudgery, right? Quite frankly, the knowledge work becomes much more fluid and in flow. And I think it's going to have a transformative effect.
Same here. This is my personal question because I am the CEO of my company as well. And how do you train yourself? I mean, along the way, how do you approach leadership style?
One of the things I'd reflect on is, you know, both of us as leaders, you know, obviously start with this idea that it's a real privilege that we've been given to even have the seat we have. And the question then is to be very grounded on what are the things that only I can do or you can do, right? Knowing, having a deep sense of that. Because one of the things I feel sometimes is leaders have to sometimes take on the risk so that the team is not encumbered by it, right? That's one example. Unless you make that decision, you paralyze the organization. So to me, leaders really who are in touch with the decisions that only they can make, the constraints that only they can remove, and doing it quickly, I think is perhaps the most important thing that any CEO or any executive can do. I think sometimes what we do is we just sit around and watch. You know, sometimes it's good not to just be, you know, fast just for the sake of being fast, because you want to learn, you want to listen to different perspectives. But you got to make your decision. And most importantly, you are the one who has to sort of remove the constraints sometimes an organization feels in order to make progress.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate. Much respect.
Thank you so much.
Can I take a selfie?
Absolutely.
You are true inspiration for me.
Thank you so much.
All right. Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you. Actually, I have a gift for you, sir. Oh. This is my book.
This is your book? Oh, fantastic. Yes. Thank you so much.
This is my
book. The Invisible Leader.
Yeah. They discuss about the changing definition of leadership. Unfortunately, it's available on Thai, but I will translate to English.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kapun Kap.
And that's The Secret Sauce.
ถ้าคุณชื่นชอบ The Secret Sauce ตอนนี้นะครับก็ฝากแชร์ให้กับเพื่อนๆคุณต่อด้วยนะครับและคุณยังสามารถติดตาม The Secret Sauce ได้ใน Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcast, Podbean, YouTube และ Podcast Player ที่คุณใช้อยู่นะครับและอย่าลืมติดตาม Facebook Fanpage The Secret Sauce เข้ามาติชมเข้ามาพูดคุยกับผมได้เลยนะครับ